The beautiful names of beloved prophet. The beautiful names of beloved prophet. The beautiful names of beloved prophet.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers, welcome to another episode of our program أسماء النبي. And like the previous episodes, inshallah, we'll be mentioning numerous names of our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and trying to explain them as well in light of what the scholars of Islam have written in their precious books. But to begin, a clarification that has been made in every episode so far, and that is that, yes, Muslims desire to keep their names, their children's names, upon the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that shows that we are true lovers of the Prophet alayhi salam, that we would like to share the same name. Now, when you name your child Muhammad and Ahmad, as mentioned in the hadith, you'll gain many blessings. The father and the child will be in paradise. That's one hadith. But there are other names of the Prophet alayhi salam that we are covering in every episode. And they are sifati names, names based on the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Now, as for those names, not every name can be kept, because the scholars say that some names are specific and exclusive to our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as such, when you want to keep any such name, first consult with the ulama, the scholars of Islam, and ask them, can I keep this name? If they permit, if they give ijazah, permission, so be it. If not, then we have to think of another name. Because the last thing we want to do is make an intention to gain the blessings from a name of Rasulullah alayhi salam, only to find out later on that it was not even allowed to keep that name, because that name was exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, please act upon this advice, consult the ulama, ask them, once they give the go ahead, then yes, you can keep your child's name upon any name that they permit and allow. Now in this episode, again, numerous names will be mentioned. The first one, let's begin. This is that blessed name which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with in the previous scriptures, meaning in the scriptures, the holy scriptures that were given to the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the name given to the Prophet alayhi salam. What is the name? The name is Al-Muqaddas. Al-Muqaddas. And this name has been mentioned by Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. The meem has a dhamma, qaf has a fatha, the dal has a tashdeed and a fatha, and seen is the last letter, Muqaddas. And according to some scholars, the reading is Al-Muqaddis. And we will explain how the meaning will change as well based on how you read it. So Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, سَمَّاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِذَلِكَ فِي كُتُبِ أَنْبِيَائِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muqaddas in the books that were revealed to his Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, meaning the previous Anbiya alayhi wa sallam who came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as I mentioned, Al-Muqaddas with a fatha on the dal and Al-Muqaddis with a kasra on the dal as well. These are two variations, two ways you can read it. And the reading is slightly different, but the meanings can differ as well vastly. Now the word Muqaddas, this is derived from the word Taqdis. Taqdis. Taqdis means Tathir. Tathir means pure. And it also means to be distant from something. What it means is distant from defects, Uyub, any such trait that is not befitting a person, especially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now when we look at the blessed life of the Prophet alaihi salam, his dhat, his noble personality, we know that he is such an individual who is free from every defect, every evil trait. He is free from sins. Alhamdulillah, the Prophet alaihi salam is ma'asum anil khata wa dhunub. He's free from sins, he's free from wrongdoings as well. Now, every single one of his characteristics is excellent to the greatest degree, meaning none in creation, shares the attributes of the Prophet alayhi salat wassalam, meaning his attributes are unique to him and he has been granted them to the greatest level as well. So we learn that the Prophet alayhi salam is free from defects and his character is free from defects, his beautiful appearance, his complexion, his physical features, every single thing about the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is free from uyub, free from defects. His whole life, his seerah, his biography, if you were to study it, is free from any blemish or any wrongdoing. Now Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, companion of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, a sha'ir, a poet who wrote in praise of the Prophet alayhi wasallam throughout his life. What did he say? This was the aqeedah of the Sahaba who spent days and nights with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, that, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you were created free, مُبَرَّأ, from every defect, مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. Now who is saying this? As-Sahabi Rasul. Where do we take our aqeedah from? From the Sahaba. Now anything that the Sahaba have said, this is a hujjah for us and we believe in that wholeheartedly. And Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu is saying that خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, that, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have been created free from every defect. So Al-Muqaddas, that blessed individual, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is free from every wrongdoing, every defect, every evil trait. So this fits upon the dhat of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam completely, this name. And the other variation, the other reading is Al-Muqaddis, Al-Muqaddis with a kasra on the dal. And what is the meaning of this? Al-Mutahhiru man ittaba'ahu min arjasi shirk. Subhanallah. That blessed individual who purifies those who follow him, all those who follow him, from the filth of polytheism, from the impurities of polytheism. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Muqaddis. He purifies all those who believe in him from the impurities, from the filth of shirk, of polytheism. Subhanallah. So look at the two meanings. Al-Muqaddis, the one who himself is pure, the one who himself is free from all defects. And Al-Muqaddis, we just heard, the one who purifies others, the one who cleanses others from evils and the impurities of shirk. So Alhamdulillah, we follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are his ummati. And when we embraced faith upon him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Muqaddis, he has purified us. We believed in the Prophet alayhi salam as the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has purified us from any filth or impurity of shirk. That cannot even come close to us. And this particular wasf, this particular attribute and characteristic, meaning the Prophet alayhi salam purifying others from shirk, from polytheism, from the filth of polytheism, this is also found, this was the meaning is also found in a verse of the Quran. And this is in Surah Baqarah, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his blessed son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, when they completed the construction of Al-Ka'batul Musharrafah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they prayed to Allah Jalla wa Ala. What was that dua? This is mentioned in Surah Baqarah. Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Subhanallah. Meaning, O our Lord, and send towards them, meaning the inhabitants of Makkah, a messenger from amongst them, and he will recite upon them your ayat, your verses, and he will teach them the book and wisdom, and he will purify them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. O Allah, you are the mighty, the all-wise. So here Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is praying. What did he pray? That, Ya Allah, send a messenger to them who will teach them your ayat, who will recite to them your ayat, who will teach them the book and wisdom, and he will purify them. So this is that wasf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who purifies others from the evils, from the filth and impurities of shirk. And this is the dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made, and it was fulfilled when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Subhanallah. Even the Prophet alayhi salam himself said in one hadith, Ana da'watu Abi Ibrahim, I am the supplication of my father, my blessed father Ibrahim. because we know the Prophet ﷺ is from the same lineage of Sayyidina Ismail ﷺ, and Sayyidina Ismail ﷺ is one of his forefathers. So he said, I am the supplication of my father Ibrahim, meaning this supplication that I've just mentioned to you. So the Prophet ﷺ, this name of his Al-Muqaddis, we've just shown how it's also established from the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ is the one who frees others, who purifies others from any sort of impurities related to shirk. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, when he blessed the world, and especially that blessed city, al-Makkah al-Mukarramah, with his noble presence, he told people about the right path. He freed them from polytheism. He purified their hearts and minds. And this is why we refer to him as al-Muqaddis, the meaning, the one who purifies others, al-Mutahhiru man ittaba'ahu min arjasi shirk, the one who purifies those who follow him from the impurities of shirk. Alhamdulillah, we are followers of the Prophet ﷺ, and hence we are saved from shirk. He has purified us, so we have a lot to be grateful for. So this was the first name that we mentioned. Al-Muqaddis also can be read as Al-Muqaddis, as you've heard. Now the second name of the Prophet ﷺ that I'd like to mention, Al-Muqaffi. Al-Muqaffi, Mim, Qaf, Fa, and Ya, Al-Muqaffi. One meaning of this is that the Prophet ﷺ is that individual after whom there is no prophet. After whom there is no prophet. Just like Aqib and the term Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of prophets, the final prophet. Now here the Prophet ﷺ came to this world as the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, there can be none who is a prophet after him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this in his noble sayings, in his ahadith as well. In one hadith, he said, "Ana khatamun nabiyyin, la nabiyya ba'di." That I am the finality of prophets. I am the seal of prophets. La nabiyya ba'di. There is no prophet after me. And this is our aqidah. Somebody who has the slightest bit of doubt in this, he cannot be a Muslim. He leaves the fold of Islam if he was a Muslim. So we have no doubt in this whatsoever that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Quran also mentions this wasf al-muqaffi, meaning being the final prophet, in the famous verse that we recite, ma kana muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum walakin rasulullah wa khataman nabiyyin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the khatam, the seal, the final prophet, meaning he's the seal of all prophets. There's no prophet to come after him. Al-muqaffi, meaning that individual who is the final prophet. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in one hadith, "Ana al-muqaffi qaffaytu an-nabiyyin." I am muqaffi, and I came after all the anbiya alayhi salat was salam. Now even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn from scholars that his nur was created first, but when it came to coming to the world, he was sent last. Meaning Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was the first blessed prophet to come to the earth, first human to bless the earth. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he came as the final prophet. He was sent last from amongst all the prophets, but we know his nur was created first. And this is mentioned in various ahadith as well. So one meaning of al-muqaffi, the one who came right at the end, the one who came after all the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Another meaning of al-muqaffi is al-muttabi'u athara man qablahu min al-anbiya. That al-muqaffi is the one who follows the footsteps or the way of those anbiya who came before him, who preceded him. And this is obviously the case with our Prophet alayhi salam, that when he came, he followed the ways of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam before him. I mean, they were believers in oneness, tawheed. They had the best character amongst their nations. And every good act that they did, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it as well, but to a greater extent. And one beautiful point that the scholars have said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact, would instruct the other anbiya alaihi wasallam before he came to this world in alamul arwah. In alamul arwah, the world of souls, there are different worlds, different realms. The Prophet alaihi wasallam would perform tarbiyah of the anbiya alaihi wasallam there, and hence this is why when they came to the world, they were the best in character and they were the greatest in their time. And that was the tarbiyah, the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of those blessings that the Anbiya alayhi salam received were via our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the seventh part of the Quran, there is a verse, the translation is, O beloved, These Anbiya alayhim as-salam are those individuals whom Allah guided. He made them those who were guided. And He made them those who guide others as well. So follow that guidance. Now, in the tafsir of this verse, the ulama have stated that it means that, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those good actions that the previous Anbiya alayhim as-salam did, all of those good acts, follow them as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed them, and as I mentioned, he did them to the greatest degree, the greatest level. And this is why he is known as Al-Muqaffi, the one who follows what the Anbiya alayhim as-salam who came before him did. Al-Muttabi'u athara man qablahu min al-Anbiya. Now the third name that I would like to introduce, this name is Al-Ghani. Ghain, Noon, Ya. Normally we say Ghani. Now this is also a name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know Allah Azza wa Jal is also Ghani. So what does it mean here? When we say Allahu Ghaniyun, this means Alladhi la yahtaju ila ahadin, the one who is not in need or dependent on anyone. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all independent. He is not in need of anyone. Now Allah Jalla wa Ala is Ghani, and this is the meaning. Inna Allah Ghaniyun anil alamin. For example, it says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent of all the worlds. He is not reliant or dependent on anyone. It's mentioned beautifully in a hadith that if all of creation were to come together to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they devote their entire lives to His worship, His ibadah, they do not increase His excellence in any way whatsoever. Meaning if all of creation were together and worship Allah throughout their lives. Similarly, if all of creation came together and disobeyed Allah throughout their lives, this was their mission, for example, they just disobeyed Allah throughout their lives, this would not decrease the shan, the excellence, the exaltedness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. Now, this is what is meant by ghani. Allah is ghani, as Allah is independent. He does not need the ibadah. Ibadah does not affect Him in any way when people worship Him. Neither does disobedience as well. But when we speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we say he is ghani, the meaning is different. The meaning is وَمَعْنَاهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَلَّذِي لَا حَاجَةَ لَهُ إِلَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. When we call someone in creation ghani, it means he is not dependent on anyone except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is only dependent and reliant upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is obviously the case. 100%, no doubt in that whatsoever, that throughout his life, even in qiyamah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given his beloved such a rank and maqam that his beloved is only dependent on the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for normal human beings, as for us, then we are dependent upon creation as well, many occasions. And we are dependent upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Meaning on the Day of Judgment, who will intercede for us? The Prophet alayhi wa sallam will intercede for us. We are in need of wasail, wasila, means, intermediaries to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, he has a direct relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is only dependent upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentions this. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the Prophet ﷺ is like that, meaning الَّذِي لَا حَاجَةَ لَهُ إِلَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He is that individual that has no need from anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's only dependent upon the dhat of Allah Jalla wa'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ is ghani. And Allah Jalla wa'ala has indicated towards this name in the Quran as well. So Surah Duha, verse 8, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. We found you in need and we enriched you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. O beloved, we found you in need and we enriched you. We made you independent. Now what does it mean here, غَنِي فَأَغْنَى, in relation to the Prophet عليه السلام? The ulama have given two meanings. Number one, that the people came and they presented their wealth and everything they had, their possessions, to the Prophet ﷺ and gave him full authority to do as he likes with it. And this happened on many occasions. For example, when Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, when she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the nikah took place, she gave all her wealth to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a very wealthy woman. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him ghani, fa'aghna, enriched him. Likewise, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, numerous occasions, it's famous that he came with everything he had at home and placed it at the blessed feet of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam and said, I have left Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved for my family members. They are sufficient for my family members. So like this, on many occasions, people presented their maal, their wealth and what they had, their belongings to the Prophet alayhi salam and gave him full authority to do with it as he wishes. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him ghani. A second meaning that the ulama have mentioned is that ghani here, enrichment, means enrichment of the heart, being wealthy from the heart. Not physically having a lot of possessions or wealth, but being content. And this is a wealth in itself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had that in abundance as well. That he did not rely on people, he did not have his eyes on people's wealth or possessions, no. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with such a rank that if he wanted to live his life without eating, drinking, or doing anything that we do as human beings, he could have. But the ulama explained that he ate, he drank, he married, for example, to create ease for his ummah. And these became sunan, the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we follow the Prophet alayhi salam, it creates ease for us as well. We are not powerful and strong like the Prophet alayhi salam in the sense that we can't go for days on end without food and drink. This was the shan of the Prophet ﷺ, but he ate out of compassion for us, he drank out of compassion for us, he married as well for the sake of his ummah, meaning to create ease for the ummah. This is how the scholars have explained it. So he wasn't, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in need of fulfilling his desires, no. In fact, he had the most control over his desires from all of creation. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha states, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all the people, had the most control over his desires. So he wasn't in need of filling desires like other human beings. And his level of zuhud, asceticism, was that he never turned his attention to any worldly thing. He didn't need to, meaning this was his ghina, his wealth, and his the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched him, that he didn't need to fulfill any of his desires. And in fact, he was always engrossed in divine remembrance. So the things that I mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ eating, drinking, marrying, this was for the ease of the ummah. Otherwise, he was not in need of any of this, of fulfilling his desires. He had the most control, as we heard, he had the most control over his desires. So he always thought about the ummah and he was compassionate towards them. He was ghani, meaning he only relied and was dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was engrossed in the divine love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a portion of this blessed name, meaning ghani. May Allah give us the ability to control our desires as well and to be content with little. Inshallah, this will give us blessings in both worlds. Obviously, every blessing you have, you'll be accountable for it in the hereafter. So, the less you have, the less accountability. The next name that I'd like to bring into the episode, the final name of today's episode, is Al-Aziz. And this has been mentioned in the verse of the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, meaning a noble messenger has come to you from amongst you. مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, your falling into hardship is difficult upon him. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ doesn't like to see that his ummati falls into difficulty. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. So this is the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three meanings have been given. Number one, Al-Ghalib, meaning that blessed individual who is predominant. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is dominant over all of creation. All of Allah's creation, he is Al-Ghalib, he is the dominant one. His deen, Al-Islam, is most dominant. And we know today the fastest growing religion is Islam. Secondly, we see that it's dominant over all other religions. So Al-Aziz, one meaning is Al-Ghalib, the dominant one. The second meaning that ulama have given is Alladhi la nadhira lahu, that blessed individual in creation who does not have an equal, who does not have a match. La nadhira lahu, no one is parallel to him. He is unparalleled, unmatched, unique. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is called Aziz as well. And again, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, for example, in one narration says, I went to the Mashriq, Maghrib, فَلَمْ أَرَى رَجُولًا أَفْضَلَ مِن مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I did not find anyone superior to the Prophet alayhi salam. He was unique. There was no nadir, there was no like for him. There was no one who had a similarity to him. And the third meaning that the ulama have given is al-mu'izzu li ghayrihi. Al-aziz means the one who grants honor to others, the one who bestows respect to others. And alhamdulillah, we see this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever follows him, whoever believes in him, whoever adopts his sunan, whoever follows the commandments that he came with, avoids the prohibitions that he mentioned, that person gains respect, gains maqam, status in the world, and more importantly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gains proximity to Allah jalla wa ala, and that is through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following the Prophet alayhi salam. So the meaning here is al-mu'izzu li ghayri, the one who grants respect to others. So al-aziz, one name of the Prophet alayhi salam. Al-ghalib, one meaning is al-ghalib, the dominant one. One meaning of is al-ladhi la nadhira lahu, the one who has no match. And the third meaning was al-mu'izzu li ghayrihi, the one who grants honor to others. So this was the final name of the episode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of these beautiful names. Until the next episode, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve all of you. Ameen, bijahi an-nabi al-ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The beautiful names of beloved Prophet. The beautiful names of beloved Prophet. The beautiful names of beloved Prophet.